الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سنامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء، وأنزل من السماء ماء، فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم، فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. هاو شيخ دامت بركاتهم عارف بالله رومي وقت مجدد زمانة حضرت معلنا شاه حكيم محمد اختر صاحب ادام الله فيوضهم says that before every bayan make muzakra, discuss one sunnah of حضرت نبي كريم صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم, and one of حضرت's very beautiful poem with regard to sunnahs which Allah has made famous in the whole world. نقش قدم نبي کے ہیں صلى الله عليه وسلم, نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے. اللہ جل جلالہ اللہ سے ملاتے ہے سنت کے راستے کہ نقش قدم نبی کے the following the footsteps of نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم this is ہے جنت کے راستے, it is the road to جنت. Any person who will follow sunnats will see that he comes out in جنت. Just like we follow any board here on the road, which shows towards a certain town, and you follow that board correctly, you see you come out in that town. Similarly, any person who will follow sunnats will see that he comes out eventually in Jannat. But Jannat is far. It is credit, udhar. And it is also makhluq, it is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And so one, it is not cash, and everyone wants cash. And the other thing is that the makhluk and khaliq can never ever compare. The creation can never ever compare with the creator. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says in another poem, Mana ke meer jannate gulshan dur hai. We accept, O sir, that the gardens of jannat are still far. Lekin arif hai, jo khaliq jannat ko dil mein liye hue. But the person who is the arif, the recognizer of Allah, he has got Allah now already in his heart. So Jannat is still far. And Jannat is the creation, and Allah is the creator. And the creation has got no comparison with the creator. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali says, E shakar khushtar, ya ke shakar sazat. Is the sugar more sweeter? Or the creator of sugar. Sugar hardly knows what is sweetness. Allah put it, it is bhik manga. It is a beggar of Allah for the sweetness. And when Allah puts that sweetness in there is that sweetness. And all the sweetness of sugar, of honey, of all the things in the world, if Allah wants to, Allah can take out that sweetness in one moment. One command and the sweetness will go out. All our chocolates, ice cream, tea, milk, juices will be all with pika, without any taste whatsoever. And the sweetness of these things here, of sugar, of honey, of chocolate, ice cream, is only on the 3-4 centimeter tongue. The minute it goes past there, now there is no sweetness after that. Now the sugar is now you become a sugar patient. Now you become a diabetic. Now you have a weight problem because of the sugar, the carbohydrates, etc. All that now you have a weight problem. And you become a diabetic. And Allah's sweetness does not come via the tongue. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, if a person sees a woman and his eyes fell and he turned his eyes immediately, and the more you had the desire to look, and the more firmly and strongly you turned your eyes away, then it comes in a Hadith that Allah changes that for halawat iman. Allah blesses that person with halawat iman. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, a great scholar and researcher of hadith, says that inna halawat al-iman, this halawat of iman, the sweetness of iman, that was the sweetness of sugar that comes on the tongue, but this sweetness of iman goes in the heart. And inna halawat al-iman idha dakhala qalban, whichever heart it has entered, lam yakhruj minhu abada, it will never ever go out. That sweetness a person will find always there. And further he writes, وَفِيهِ بَشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ حُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ, and in there is basharat, glad tidings of a good mort, a good death. Not only mort on iman, but mort in sajda, mort on juma, mort in Riyadul Jannah, mort in Medina Sharif, حُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ. So all this when that iman comes into the heart. So a person will find Allah Ta'ala also by following sunnahs. Further, Allama Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi says that "E qamar khushtar ya aake qamar saazat," is this moon more beautiful or the creator of the moon? The moon which is so beautiful, the 14th full moon, and poets of the east and west, ancient and present, they all compared the moon to beauty. What great beauty. One time in the court of Harun al-Rashid, one minister of his, and Baghdad was such a beautiful city that till today perhaps no city can compare with the beauty of Baghdad of that time. Such a beautiful city it was. So he was sitting in his garden with his wife, and they were making love, the 14th full moon, and in this making love he told his wife, if you are not more beautiful than the moon, then 3 talaqs on you. Now who can be more beautiful than the moon? So the wife was also a learned woman, she went in parda immediately, now her talaq has fallen. And he also became very disturbed, perturbed, what did I do, how could I say such a thing? Next day he went to Harun al-Rashid, the king, and he told him, this foolish thing I did, and not we were making love, no anger or anything, but I said these words. And so he summoned a assembly of the ulama, that what is it, has talaq fallen? All said that definitely talaq has fallen. He gave 3 talaqs, and who can be more beautiful than the moon? One alim who was sitting was keeping quiet. So he asked him, you not speaking? He was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He said that no talaq has fallen. He said, how come the whole assembly, and they all say it's clear, who can be more beautiful than the moon? He said, Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, we have created insan in the most beautiful of forms. So Allah declares that insan is the most beautiful of all his creation. So who is all this ulama's view, or Allah's view, which is more stronger? All accepted that definitely it is correct, and that talaq has not fallen. Anyway, the moon that is so beautiful, but the creator of the moon, and Allah has not only created this one moon, all other planets also have got their moons. And what is the beauty of Allah? How much beautiful scenery is in this world Allah Ta'ala has created. How many people have got so beautiful character. All that is the creation of Allah. So Allah is so beautiful. So by following sunnahs, نقش قدم نبی کے ہیں جنت کے راستے. وی ول گیٹ جنت آلسو, بٹ جنت ون از ادھار, اٹ از کریڈٹ, اینڈ دا ادر اٹ از مخلوق, اٹ از دا کریشن. اینڈ بائی فالوئنگ سنت, سنت اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں. اے پرسن ول بی جوائنڈ اینڈ کونیکٹڈ ٹو اللہ تعالی سنت کے راستے. A person who follows sunnah will be connected with Allah, and that will be cash now, and not with the creation but with the creator. So how valuable aren't sunnahs? That when a person will follow sunnahs and bring sunnahs in his life, he will get jannat also, but that is second, that is creation, and it is credit, but he will get Allah who is cash, and Allah is the creator, and Allah will come into his heart now. So by following sunnats, a person will get Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And when Allah comes in the heart, then what to say of that person? What enjoyment that person? So by following sunnats, there is also one great way by which a person can get Allah in his heart. So one sunnat of Hadrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to making of miswak. By making, this is also a sunnat of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is so valuable. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna salata bis-siwak," that if a person makes a namaz using miswak before that, in his wuzu, he made wuzu, he made miswak. "Afdalu min sab'ina salatan biduna siwakin." It is better than 70 namazes without miswak. So if a person, for example, whenever on a occasion, and he made 70 rakats of namaz, how long will it take him? And what a pious person, everyone will say he is, he made so much namaz, 70 rakats of namaz. But if he didn't make miswak in that wuzu before that, and another person, or he himself on another occasion, he made miswak and he only made 2 rakats. This 2 rakats is more valuable by the judgment of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than those 70 rakats. So if we made miswak and we're going to make our zuhr namaz now, then it isn't just like one zuhr, but that miswak will get the reward of 70 zuhr. It will be multiplied by 70. And just by the simple act of making miswak. And how many other benefits of miswak there are. Allama Ibn Abidin Shami Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, "Inna sunnat as-siwak," the sunnat of miswak, if a person regularly makes miswak, "tudhakkaru kalimata shahadatin inda al-maut," will remind a person of kalima shahadat and at the time of his maut, that when he is going to be dying, then he will be reminded not to read only the kalima, kalima tawheed, but kalima is shahadat. And that means that under oath you will swear that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his Rasul. And what a person, one is a statement, and one is under oath you make a statement. So you'll get kalima is shahadat at the time of maut, a person who makes miswak regularly. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to know every sunnat, the value of the sunnats, and then to make amal on the sunnats, to have love for the sunnats, to make amal on the sunnats, and that Allah make us the means to spread every sunnat in the whole world till the day of Qiyamah in all men and jinn. So first we should have knowledge of the sunnats. Regularly we should have one kitab in our mutala, in our studies of the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have knowledge and then make dua for the love of the sunnats. If a person loves Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will automatically love the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then make dua that Allah must bless us with the amal on that sunnat. And that Allah make us the means to pray, spread that sunnat in the whole world. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. In the ayat al-kareema that I have recited, it is right at the beginning of the Quran Sharif, the third ruku. In the first ruku, alif lam mim, dhalika al-kitab, Allah has explained the qualities of believers first, who the true believers are. And then in two short ayats, the qualities of the non-believers. These are two very contrasting groups and recognizable very easily. Who are the true sincere believers? You can make them out. And who are the non-believers? You can make them out. But then in between there is one group who are known as the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. There is a very dangerous group and very difficult to recognize and know them also. So Allah devoted one whole long ruku, about 2 pages, towards the munafiqeen, so that Allah's bandas can recognize them and they don't fall into their traps. Because these are the people, Allah Ta'ala Himself says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. They say, we believe in Allah and on the last day. That is what they say. But Allah declares, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. But they are not believers. Allah says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They try and deceive Allah and the believers. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. But they only deceive themselves. So there is a very dangerous group, the group of the munafiqeen. They are the snakes in the grass. They are the enemy inside the house. If an enemy is outside, you can protect yourself to quite a bit. But the enemy who is in the house, how are you going to protect yourself from that enemy? So this munafiqeen are a very dangerous group. They will say we are believers also, but actually they are the enemies. And they will hate Islam and they will hate the Muslims, but they will just pretend to be believers. They will even pretend to be doing great work for Islam, but actually thereby they want to destroy the Muslims and destroy Islam. So we have to be very careful. So Allah has devoted this whole ruku towards them, so that Allah's bandas can recognize them. Just to get an idea, today one great weakness that has come into us, generally, into the ummah generally, is that we don't recognize who our friends are and who our enemies are. Today, generally, those who are our friends, we have taken them as our enemies. And those who are our enemies, we take them as our friends. One father, his son used to come home very late every night, 1-2 o'clock in the morning. So naturally, any father will be very worried, where is my son, what is he doing? And in today's environment, what and what can happen? So the father used to wait for the son till he comes home, very concerned. So the father spoke to him on many occasions. He tells his father, you don't have to worry, I've just got some friends. We sit, we drink tea, we talk, we play some games, and they are very good friends. And to have friends, they will help me whenever I have a need. So one day, when the son came home so late, the father was crying profusely. So the son asked, what's the problem? He said that, I've got a need of a very huge amount of money and I need it immediately now. And I don't know what to do. So the son said, no problem, I told you I've got my friends and the friends will help us. This is the time, they will help us. I'll go and get it now. So he said, go and try. So he came back after some time, but everyone had made an excuse. That I just to spend my money today, I just invested it today, whatever, everyone made an excuse. So the father said, okay, you didn't have the, nobody could help you, let me try now, come with me. So he went to one of his friends, just before Fajr sometime, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, knocked on the door. When the person opened the door, he opened it in a very strange way. In such a way he opened it, that he opened the door, and in his right hand was a sword, and in the left hand was a bag, and behind him was his wife. So he told him, why did you open the door in this way? So he says, a person who knocks at my door at this time of the night, at this very awkward and odd time, either it's an enemy, so my sword is ready for him. Or either it is a person in desperate need for money, my bag of money is ready, no questions. Somebody who has come at this time. Or either his wife, daughter-in-law is giving birth and they need somebody to help for her at the time of delivery. So my wife is ready here for that. So he says, I don't need any of this. I just wanted to show my son that who is a friend. This is what you call a friend. But today we don't recognize. People who call us towards righteousness, towards good, we take them as enemies. We try and keep away from them. We shun them. People who call us towards evil, who call us towards wrong things, we got all the time for them. And we are ready for them all the time. So we don't recognize who are our friends and who are our enemies. Today your friend is your wife, for example, but you haven't got time for your friend. And another girlfriend is your enemy, but you got all the time for your girlfriend, which is totally haram. You'll be so sweet, you'll be so kind there. And with your wife, which Allah has made jais and halal, you haven't got time, you rebuke her, you are abrupt with her. So it is very necessary to understand who our friends are and who our enemies are. And we should understand. So Allah has devoted this whole ruku so that we could understand. After that now, in the third ruku, Allah has addressed the whole of mankind. This is seldom which Allah has done in the Quran, few places. The majority of the places Allah has addressed the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Three things have come in great abundance in the Quran Sharif. One is the address, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Over and over you will read that. Another, the command that has come greatly repeated is to acquire taqwa. Over and over, in various ways, you will see Allah said, this is your command, so that you must acquire taqwa. Acquire taqwa. And the third thing which has come in great abundance in the Quran is the dhikr of Allah. Make the dhikr of Allah. Three things Allah Ta'ala has repeated, and with great abundance it has come in the Quran Sharif. Anyway, in this place Allah has addressed the whole of mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, whether you are the true, genuine believers, even if you are the kafirs, all the munafiqs also, all of you, do one thing, u'budu rabbakum, make ibadat of your Rabb. And this is one great beauty of the Quran Sharif, that together with the command, Allah has given the reason for the command also. Normally in our speech, if I tell somebody go to the office, in that command go to the office, then why must he go? What must he go and do there? It's not included. But in Allah's command, u'budu rabbakum, worship your Rabb. In that command, Allah has given the reason also why you should worship your Rabb. And this is very important for us to understand, especially in this time which is so-called an enlightened zamana. Which Judge Akbar Allahabadi says that this enlightened zamana is darkness. To the light of this time is darkness. That he says, for example, before the candle used to light the candle, and around the candle it should be dark. Everywhere on top it should be light. But now the globe is on top. Behind the globe it is dark, everything at the bottom is light. It's a different zamana now. The times have changed now. So in these times, what this enlightened time to understand this command is extremely important. It is at this time that how many a person will say, for example, at the time of a wedding of his daughter, son, and he'll be using his money wrongly, doing all wrong things. If anyone tells him, he say, it's my money. I'll do what I want to. Or a person will say, I'm going to sleep in my qabr, you going to your qabr. You don't worry about me. How sadly, how many a woman, Muslim woman, will say that it's my body, and I can do with my body as I want to. Nobody can tell me. Allah has given the reason to all of this, that my thinking, my logic, to my understanding. Today, how many a person reclining on the couch with a cigarette in his mouth, namaz is carrying on, jamaat, faraz namaz, he's not gone for namaz, and he's discussing big fatwas here. And he's giving fatwas, and he's making big rules about Islam here, and he's a big philosopher of Islam. And so all that, Allah says, all what you say, all that answer for all this type of things Allah has given in here. That one is, make Allah's ibadat. Why must you make Allah's ibadat? Because he is your Rabb. Who is, first of all, let us discuss the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. That it says that Allah says must make his ibadat. Ibadat, there are three aspects here that we should try and understand. One is, we all know what is ibadat. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, etc. Tilawat of Quran Sharif, zikrullah, dua, all this is ibadat. So Allah says make Allah's ibadat. The other ibadat is that from ibadat, Abdiyat must come in a person. Humility and humbleness must come in a person. If by his ibadat, pride is coming in him. Just because he made 2 rakats of extra nafil namaz, he just gave 2 rands in charity, and he thinks he has done a lot of great ibadat, and pride comes in that person, he's riding the right car, but in the wrong direction. This ibadat now will take him to Jahannam. He's riding a very valuable car of ibadat, making Allah's ibadat, but he's going in the wrong direction. And this is shaitan, first of all, does not allow us to make ibadat. He keeps us away. When we do make ibadat, then he's changed our intention. We don't have sincerity. Now we are doing it for name, fame, etc., or just to pass time, or whatever else. After that, if we do make ibadat still, then he'll let us. We destroy the rights of some other people. In making our ibadat, we don't consider the rights of other people. For example, a person made he promised somebody, I'll meet you at this time. Now he's busy in ibadat here all the time. Once there was a nikah taking place, the father of the groom was a very pious person, and the time the groom party had to leave was whatever, say 10 o'clock, whatever the time was. Now, the pious person, all the cars are ready, and he was busy making namaz. Namaz is very good, but now you are keeping up 20 cars here, and you are busy making your ibadat. So one person who was an outspoken person, and was close to that pious person, he says, you want to make your ibadat? No problem, but not this time now. You should have done it 30 minutes before. You want to make dua for your son, for his nikah, and all that on its place, which is very important and very good, but not now. So many times we make ibadat, but we are destroying the rights of other people. Some person might get up for tahajjud, and this is a very important thing also, tahajjud, mashallah, but he wakes up making a big noise, coughing loudly, unnecessarily, banging the doors, putting on unnecessary lights, and disturbing the other person. So you are making a great ibadat, but you're destroying the rights of other people. So shaitan hits us in that way. Or you go and give charity so much outside, and here your own family is suffering. And you make them suffer, but you are giving big, big charities outside. So shaitan will get us in that way. After, if you pass that stage also, and you fulfill the rights of everyone, so you can understand, to please Allah is not a simple thing. It is a task. And a person has to learn this. And after making all the ibadat, then shaitan will bring in you, there is no greater buzurg wali than you. You are the most pious person in the world. You have made so much ibadat. So shaitan now, he sees, I can't stop this person from his ibadat. He's carrying on with everything. He'll attack you in your heart now. Let pride come into you. And you think you are somebody great. So by ibadat, abdiyat must come into a person. Humility must come into a person. If by ibadat, fir'auniyat is coming in a person. And a person thinks that there is nobody like me. Ana wala ghairi. That I'm a very pious person. I make so much ibadat. This person is driving a very beautiful car, but he's going in the wrong direction. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhannas, O people, u'budu, make ibadat. One is ibadat. And by ibadat, let abdiyat come into you. Let humbleness come to you. So we should see that how many of us, we spend a chilla by our sheikh, in jamaat for example, you become an alim, and now we get the holier than thou attitude. That I'm more holier than you, I'm very pious. This is how shaitan destroys us also, and makes us thin. So by ibadat, abdiyat must come. And a third aspect that we have to inculcate with us by what Allah has commanded us, that by this ibadat we must become the abd, the slave of Allah Ta'ala. And what does it mean to become the slave of Allah Ta'ala? This has been illustrated very beautifully in the instance of Hazrat Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayh. On one occasion he bought a slave and brought the slave home. He asked the slave, what will you eat? The slave says, what choice has a slave got? Whatever food the master gives, that is what he will eat. Where will you sleep? He says, what choice has the slave got? Where the master will give him place to sleep, he will sleep. What clothes will you wear? He says, what choice has the slave got? Wherever the master will put you, give clothes to him, he will wear those clothes. A few questions like that, then Hazrat Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayh, set him free. And told him, you have taught me how to be the slave of my master, of Allah Ta'ala. So by this ibadah, we must become the slaves of Allah, totally submit to Allah Ta'ala. That whatever Allah's command is, we accept it wholeheartedly. And we in every matter, our Shaykh Da'amat Barakatum says, learn a great lesson from a very small little child. A small child who is usually in the arms of the mother or father, and you give the child a sweet or something. Normally, children that have been trained properly, they won't accept from strangers. And a child should not just accept from strangers. You don't know what and what the stranger can give. So a child that has been trained properly, when somebody will give the child a sweet or something, the child will automatically look at its father. That must I accept or not? In other words, he's giving a questioning look. Can I take this? Can I accept it or not? Just like that, whatever we have to do in our lives, we don't have to look at Abba, look at Rabba. That what is Allah's command at this time? I am the slave of my Rabb, and I am a small. So how a little child looks up towards the father for guidance, we should look up to Allah Ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, is this jais for me? Is it najais? Is it proper? Is it improper? What do you tell me? What should I do? Yeah. In other words, know our Shariat. Know our laws. And where we don't know, we can't ask Allah Ta'ala directly, ask the ulama. That what is the masala in this thing? Is this permissible for me or not? That is being a slave of Allah Ta'ala. Don't just do it for your own sake, because you like to do it, because you think it's alright. No, see what is Allah's command. So by Allah has commanded all of mankind, that all of you make Allah's ibadat. And all of you, we let abdiyat, humility, humbleness come into you. And all of you become the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. Look what is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Now the second part, where the answer is given, why should we do? Why must we make Allah's ibadat? Why must abdiyat and humility come into us? Why should we be slaves of Allah Ta'ala? Because Allah is Rabbakum. He is your Rabb. Rabb is that being who brought you into existence from non-existence. Your very existence in a place. We find commonly when a person wants a job, for example, he's so sweet and he makes so big promises and so many things he says. When he gets his job, for a few days at the most, he's still like that. But then afterwards, you see, he changes now. Now his things change. Now he starts making demands. And soon he becomes your boss. He starts ruling you and he tells you what you must do. So that is how the nature of a person is. Man normally is like that. So Allah Ta'ala, we have to, you gave him a job, you did a favor, you didn't perhaps really need an extra person at that time. But he told you so sad stories, how much he's suffering, what difficulty, you give him a job and now he comes and rule over you. So that is the case. So yeah, Allah Ta'ala, who has given us our existence, not only a job. Allah hasn't given you one meal. Allahu Akbar. Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that people, he says, when the good Muslims, if they have some money, normally because of lack of knowledge, all what they think of neki is to build a masjid. That is a big neki. But he says the biggest neki where you spend your money is to give it to a student of deen. You gave him one meal, for example, 10 rand, 20, 25 rand, one meal you gave him. And with that strength, he learned his sabah. His whole life, what is going to benefit, you're going to get the sawab for that already. And from that one alim, he'll have how many masjids built? He will have how many madrasas built? So that is the best place where a person can spend his money. So Allah Ta'ala, who hasn't just given us one meal, Allah gave us our whole life, everything. He is your Rabb. Where we were, هَلْ أَتَىٰ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Doesn't that time dawn upon man that he thinks little bit? In other words, Allah says, why don't you think at one time, I was شَيْئًا لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. You were nothing, not even spoken about. If a person is 40 years old today, 41 years ago, nobody even spoke about him. Not his mother, not his father, nobody. But afterwards when the mother conceived, then she told her husband, the father, that I think I've conceived. They made some checks, everything. Yeah, you have conceived. Now they start talking, is it going to be a boy? I wish it's a boy. Make dua, it's a girl, it's a boy, whatever else. Now you're worried, it must be a healthy child, mustn't be retarded or anything. How many now you are being spoken about? And then now, as the time comes nearer, now they're buying some clothes for you before you were even born. Whatever they preparing, etc. All those things start up. But at one time, you were not even a thing that was spoken. Allah made you. Allah is the one that made you. So how much must the person be thankful to Allah Ta'ala? Whatever we have got is only, solely from Allah Ta'ala. So a person who gets a job from his boss, and he was desperate for that job, How much mustn't he be thankful to the boss? How mustn't he be obedient to the boss? Yeah, not only a boss, not only a job. Allah, who is our Rabb, He's not our boss. He is our Rabb. He is the one who has created us. And in creation, we don't just take the one word that He has made us, but think of everything individually. Allah made our eyes for us. Allah made our brains for us. Allah made our heart and how many things in the human body. Today, doctors who are studying only blood alone, they're coming across new and new things. Cholesterol in the blood. At one time they called it cholesterol. Now they realize cholesterol is a whole chemist. How many chemicals in that one cholesterol thing, what they call cholesterol. And every day they are realizing new and new things. One time when I went to Australia, Maulana Abbas Zubair Ali, my brother-in-law, he gave me a book to read, medical book written by a Canadian doctor. And in that the doctor explained the full formation of the child in the mother's womb, how the child is formed from the beginning till the end. At the end of the book he appealed to any person in the world who can throw light on this, on the process of the formation of the child, but not from medical resources. He said that we have got all that medical resources. We do our saunas, we do our x-rays, we've got all our knowledge, everything we have got from any other source besides medical source. A Malaysian doctor replied and wrote to him and quoted all the ayats of the Quran, that how Allah has described the formation of the child. He was completely shocked and taken aback. Like for example, in Allah, in one Quran, one ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَمَيِّتُونَ. So the Quran started where medical science doesn't start. Medical science starts from the semen, drop of semen. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. From the sand, the mud, from there Allah Ta'ala started. And medical science ends when the body is formed until life is in the body. Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ لَمَيِّتُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تُبْعَثُونَ. And on the day of Qiyamah, you will be resurrected. Like this, how many places يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ مَا غَرَّكُمْ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَا شَارَكَ. What is the qudrat of Allah? He was completely shocked. He accepted Islam. And he said that 1400 years ago, when there wasn't even the name of medical science of gynecology, there wasn't a thought of gynecologists, there wasn't x-ray machines, there weren't saunas, and so perfectly, this could never be the work of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any human being, but the creator of the human. So Allah has created us like this. And how beautiful, what forms Allah has created us. Step by step, how Allah has created. And all of us. Don't think today I'm a grandfather or I'm a big person and I wasn't. We also went through that same stage. All of us. In that other ayat Allah says, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah creates you and يَخْلُقُكُمْ. Allah didn't create one child and finish. All the time. According to statistics of 1990, 300 children were born a day in the world. 300,000 children were born a day in the world. And now it must be much more. But 300 factories of 300,000 factories. And 600,000 eyes are being delivered every day. 600,000 ears. 600,000 lips are being delivered. And this is not delivered, that in another place it is being made. And never did we ever hear also that the farishtas are gone on a strike. And that would-be parents must go easy, otherwise there is a short supply of eyes. Or a short supply of lips. Not at all. All the time Allah Ta'ala is, and not Allahu Akbar. Allah started the Quran Sharif. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Not Rabbil Mu'mineen, Rabbil Muslimin, Rabbil Salihin, Rabbil Alameen. Even not only the non-Muslims are getting eyes, even the little mouse, Allah is giving that little mouse also eyes. Not only a pious person, a snake that is being born, Allah is giving that snake also eyes. Who is Allah Ta'ala? We haven't recognized. So that Allah who has created you, U'budu Rabbakum, who has created you. And not only that Allah create, but after the creation of Allah, Allah sustains also. Yeah, a person gives you a 1 year guarantee for whatever he installed a new gate for you. Before 1 year, there is no sign of that company also. That company is finished, it's gone. They just gave you the guarantee and they don't exist. Or in the fine print, what and what they think they got. And now you see your guarantee hardly holds any water. But Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one who has created us and sustains us also all the time. Allah alone is our sustainer. All this asbab is just wool pulled over the eyes. Like for example, a train was standing in a station and a dog slept under the train. After some time, the train had to move, and it was time the dog woke up also. So the dog started walking, and the train started moving also. So the dog, this thought came to it, that by my walking, the whole train is moving. I'm making the train move. And after a little while, the dog became fresh. So it started running. The train picked up speed also. And the train started moving. Now he was completely convinced that I'm doing all this. I'm making this whole big train move. It's due to me. But how long is the dog going to run? The train from Joburg will go to Cape Town, will go to Durban. The dog will get so tired with its tongue out and lie on the side. Can't move at all. And the train will carry on. Just like that, we think how many times a father thinks, all fathers, especially the person is about 35, 40, he's got 3, 4, 5 young children. If I die, what will happen to my children? And some of them die at that age also. The mother, for example, she just gave birth, and there were 3, 4 children she has got. And at the age of 30, 35, if I die, she's very worried, what will happen to my children? Who will look after my children? And sometimes such funerals do take place. People die at that age. And the people, when they are burying, the people are all worried, not for the dying person. They are worried for the living people. That what will happen to this person here, this person, the children now. And people with tears in their eyes that she passed away, the child that is just born. And there are another 2, 3 young children, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years old. What's going to happen to them? But eventually, Allah is Rabbul Alameen. The mother has died, but Allah has not died. And Allah Ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. Allah is the Rabb of those children also. And Allah will see to them. And we see that Shaddad, who built his Jannat in this world, when he built it, he made so much of zulm that he took the money. That time currency was gold money. He took it and he exchanged it and gave them leather money. And don't think that was now very, today we got paper money. That was leather money, that's even more better than our paper money. And our paper money also sometime had written on it, I promise to pay the bearer so much. Now that ink also they're not using. That also, so they're saving that ink. So that paper has got no value. And what is supposed to be the most advanced country, America, they are just printing money which they're not even allowed to print. Now money is just printing and that money has got no value whatsoever. Things are becoming more expensive. Governments are just rolling money one way. And that money has got no value. That is our paper money. Anyway, he gave the people leather money and with all their gold and silver, he, according to the scriptures that he had read, he built his Jannat in this dunya. And when he had built it, then he was about to enter it. Now what a day to enter. So Allah Ta'ala sent Malakul Maut to him at that time. When he was about to enter his Jannat, put one leg in, Malakul Maut came to him and asked him that by Allah's command, if you believe in Allah, you are allowed to enter. And if you don't believe, you are going to die now. He refused to believe even at that time. He died there. Anyway, Allah asked Malakul Maut, that was there any occasion when you felt sad at taking the ruh of a person? He said on two occasions. Allah asked when, he says one, when a ship was going on the sea and a storm came and the ship came in the storm and it sunk on one raft, one plank, one mother and a child were saved in the wild sea. And you commanded me at that time to take the ruh of the mother. At that time I thought, what will happen to this little child? One small little baby in the wild storms in the seas. And now the mother that could give some support, what could she also really? But whatever, she also you commanded me to take her away. Allah asked the other occasion, he says when Shaddad had built his Jannat and he was about to enter and you told me to take his ruh and he couldn't even put one step into his Jannat. Allah said that same baby is the Shaddad. How Allah made his tarbiyat, how Allah brought him up and then he went and make his Jannat like that. So Allah is that Rabbul Alameen. When Musa alayhi salatu was salam on one occasion read that Allah is Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. Allah is Dhul Jalal and Dhul Ikram. Dhul Jalal, Jalal, the majesty, the greatness and the awe of Allah Ta'ala. And Dhul Ikram, the kindness, compassion, the favors, the kindness, the mercies of Allah Ta'ala. So he said, oh Allah, let me understand that you are Dhul Ikram. What are your generosities? How do you shower your mercies, your blessings? You are Dhul Ikram. For your whole creation, you do everything. So Allah Ta'ala commanded him, and this is Allah Ma'alusi Rahmatullah Ali in Ruh al-Ma'ani explaining this. Allah told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam that the certain rock hit with it with your staff, with your stick. He hit, it split into two. Allah said, hit again, be deeper down, it split further. Allah said, hit again, it split yet further, deep down in that huge rock, completely closed rock from all sides. He found there was a worm, living worm, and with a green leaf in its mouth. He was shocked right in this closed rock, which he knocked three times down deep in the crevices of the rock. Here is this worm with a green leaf. And not only that, Allah made him hear the zikr of that worm also. That worm was making zikr and it was making this zikr, Subhanalladhi yarani. Pure is that being who sees me in the deep crevices of this rock. And not only that, وَيَعْرِفُ مَكَانِي. And Allah knows my physical address also, where I am living. And I'm not out of the radar of Allah Ta'ala. Allah knows exactly where I am. And not only that, وَيَرْزُقُنِي. Allah sends my truckloads of my rosy to me here also, delivered right to my door here. That is Allah Ta'ala. We might think that how can a worm live in that rock? No oxygen. How can that leaf reach there? A person who hasn't recognized Allah will wonder. But a person who has recognized Allah will increase his yaqeen and iman and love of Allah Ta'ala. And why is it difficult? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah Ali was asked that how did you recognize Allah Ta'ala? How did you find your Allah? He didn't read an ayat of the Quran or hadith. But what did he say? He says that I saw an oval office, a white oval office. And this office had no windows, no air vents, nothing. The egg of a chicken, of a fowl, of a hen. And after 21, 28 days, I saw that that office, it split open. And a wonderful little cheek came out from there. How did that cheek, a living cheek? It was living, it didn't get life just then. It was living there. Who gave it oxygen in that complete closed shell, which we are seeing with our eyes, which is happening all the time? Whose qudrat is this? Who made, can the mother have made that chicken inside that closed shell? Who made that closed shell? And it is so solid, yet so fragile also. It is completely protected, but yet it will break also so easily, so fragile. And Allah, with His qudrat and with His power, how He had made that little chicken. And then another great lesson, when the chicken comes out from there, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى O Musa, who is your Rabb? Fir'aun said, that أَنَا رَبُّكُمَ الْعَالَى I am the great Lord, I am Allah. Who is your Rabb? Which Rabb are you talking about, Musa? Musa alayhi salam, what did he say? رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى Allah is the architect of everything. He had planned, He's the engineer. And then He is the constructor also of everything. He puts it onto His cause also. So a chicken, Allah was the architect of this chicken. Allah was the engineer of the chicken. That, you know, small little thin legs, how the whole chicken is going to balance. The whole fowl also is so heavy. Legs are so thin. But whose engineering work it is that it balances like this? Allah Ta'ala's great qudrat. And the chicken, when it comes out, it doesn't look for the milk of the mother to go and suck on the mother. Automatically it didn't go to no technicon, no college, university, but it starts pecking in the ground looking for its food, its rosy. And a human being's baby is born, the baby doesn't go pecking on the ground. And the baby wasn't taught and told by anyone, for your sustenance you must look for your mother's breast. Automatically the baby goes to the breast of the mother. Whose qudrat is this? رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى And then Allah put it on its course. So Allah is that great Rabb. Allahu Akbar. That Allah Ta'ala, He is the one who has created us. And then not only created us, that was too great. Today people, the scientists feel, if they can clone one little sheep, which also how lot lies come out after that. But whatever they say, if they manage to clone one thing, what a great achievement. Like when we were in India, when we were studying, when we used to go and buy some things, we should see that written made in England. So you think it's good quality things, but when you bring it home, you see in small was written on top, just like made in England. It's made in India, but just like made in England. So what Allah has made, and man just like made by Allah. And man boasts about this all. But what can man do? Today we are fascinated with fax machine, with emails, with computers, computer programs. Who has made all that? And a man. And who has made man? That we don't see. Allah Ta'ala. If a postman brings some money for you, 50,000 rand check, and you fall at his feet, oh, you brought 50,000 rand for me. But you don't see the person who has sent the 50,000. He who has sent it. So Allah is the one who is doing all. All this asbab is just like the dog under the train. And the dog thinks it's doing everything. We think we are doing everything. How many mother and father pass away? Little children left. Nobody to look after them. Who is it who brings them up? All the time we see this. So Allah Ta'ala, who created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam by His command. And Allah created Hawa alayhi salam from Adam alayhi salam. And then Allah made this means. Allah created Isa alayhi salatu wasalam without a father. Adam alayhi salam without mother and father. Hawa alayhi salam without mother and father. So Allah is the one. So He who has done all this. And then He is the one who sustains us. Who is looking to every need of ours. Whatever vitamins and food and strength the eyes need, we eat food. And from the stomach, who is it who has put that computer that what vitamins you need for the eyes will go there? What you need for your brains will go there. What you need for your tissues will go there. What you need for your muscles will go there. Whose qudrat is this? We are just eating food. If we had to work it out, that for my eyes I need so much of this, and for my tissues I need so much of that, and oh, so much vitamins of this. Allah is the one who supplies all this. And takes out all the what is required, and all the waste, Allah makes the means for that to go on its place again. And that is also a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. If when we were born, we were going to have 100,000 liters of water we were going to need for our life. If Allah gave us that 100,000 liters at the time of our birth, here's your 100,000 liters, two big swimming pools will be walking around with you all the time. You can draw from this whenever you want to. And when you have to relieve yourself, that also we give you two big tanks that will be walking with you. What should be our condition? Allah gives us our food, water, where we go, when we need it. It is written down for us 40 days before time. And wherever we go, our rosy, it's there for us. Where and where we travel in the world, mankind, what's the ayat in that you don't see any person carrying his food with him? Mindabati la tahmilu rizqaha. That Allah Ta'ala says that you don't carry your rosy with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, Allah has made the means of your rosy for you there. And so Allah is such a great being. Allah is the one that our body, if wafi anfusikum afala tubsirun. If you look in yourself, the great qudrat of Allah. Around us again, who is this that made this earth for us? Who is it that made this oxygen for us? Allahu Akbar. So when Allah has done everything, it's only natural that if a person is wise, that he will submit totally to Allah. Now Allah said, make my ibadat, whatever form of ibadat Allah has decreed, namaz, roza, zakat, we will do that. Allah said, you must get abdiyat in you. Who are you? You are no Fir'aun, you are no God, you are no great person, you are nothing whatsoever. So let humility come into you. And you are totally subject to my commands. So you become my slave. U'budu rabbakum. If this reality comes, the hidayat of a person opens up. Now he won't use his own logic and thinking. He won't say, it's my money. You don't tell me how to use my money. He'll realize it's an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. A woman won't say, it's my body and I can do with my body as I want to. She'll realize it's Allah's amanat. And I have to use this body as Allah has commanded me. My eyes, I have to use them as Allah has commanded. My tongue, I can speak lot of things and I can break many hearts, but I have to use it as Allah has commanded. I didn't make it, I haven't got it in inheritance, Allah has given it to me. And all this is an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. And Allah is testing us whether we'll make khiyanat, whether we'll be disloyal in this amanat, or whether we'll use this amanat correctly. So Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, u'budu rabbakum. Then Allah spells it out for us. Alladhi khalaqakum, who has created you. And if you think you came from your parents, walladhina min qablikum, and Allah created those before you, your parents also. And all of this, why did Allah, this whole exercise of making Allah's ibadat and everything, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that taqwa comes into you. That is what it is. Right at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala says, ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is for the muttaqeen. Yeah, Allah says, all this exercise is so that you acquire taqwa. If you acquire taqwa, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most mukarram, the most honorable in the eyes of Allah is the one who has got the most taqwa. The one who has got less taqwa has got less respect by Allah Ta'ala. The one who has got more taqwa is the one who has got more respect by Allah Ta'ala. Allah didn't say is the one who makes the most ibadah. The one who has got the most knowledge of deen. The one that makes great sacrifices for deen. The one who works for deen. No, the one who has got the most taqwa is the one person who has got the most highest position by Allah Ta'ala. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. And the friends of Allah says, are only those people who have got taqwa. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, ittaqil maharim, stay away, have taqwa, stay away from all haram things, takun a'bad al-nas. You will be the one who makes the most ibadat. By ibadat, you won't be the one who makes the most ibadat. But by having taqwa, by staying away from haram, you will be the one who is the most a'bad al-nas, the one who makes the greatest and the most ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Further than Allah Ta'ala expels out more further, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Allah is that being who spread out the earth for you and made it like a carpet for you. He spread it out for you. Bishar hafi. Hafi means a person nange paw, without shoes who walks. His whole life he didn't wear shoes. And in return, why? He said, Allah said that Allah spread out the earth. 27 subhanah. Wa farashna arda. Fa ni'ma al-mahidun. That we have. وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ. That we had spread out our carpet on the earth. So he says, on Allah's carpet, how can we walk? But Allah Ta'ala also honored him, that wherever he walked, Allah made the ground clean, and made it soft, and made it very comfortable for him. So, Bishar Hafi radiyallahu rahmatullah alayh, فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ. That how Allah Ta'ala, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. How Allah has spread out the earth, and how perfect Allah made the earth. Allah didn't make it so hard that we can't dig into it to make the foundations of our buildings, or to plant our for trees and vegetation, etc. Allah made it soft enough. Allah didn't make it so soft like sponge and water that we can't even walk on it. That our cars and trucks, it's so hard that our big trucks can move on this earth. And Allah made it so soft that with your fingernail you can dig into the ground. What is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? And from Alladhi ja'ala lakum al-arda firasha was-sama'a bina'a. And Allah made the sky a covering for us. Like we have the ceiling and we have the roof over our houses, the masjid here. It protects us from rain, from sunshine, from cold, from how many things? Lightning, etc. Allah Ta'ala, we don't know what is beyond the sky. And what things there are that Allah is protecting us. Allah made the sky for us and is protecting us. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءَ. And then وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءَ. From above, Allah sends water down, the rains. And when this rain comes, on the rain which is colorless, which is tasteless, which is odorless, no taste, no color, no smell in this water. And it falls on the ground on which we spit, on which we urinate, on which we don't have value for the ground. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Then Allah by His Qudrat takes out various types of fruit for you. Forget various types of fruit, just banana. We were in one country, I think Indonesia, and they say they have 300 varieties of bananas. Hey, one fruit and what variety they have. Hey, one grape and how many types of grapes Allah Ta'ala has made. Mango and the varieties of mangoes and the fruit. We thought, we had this wrong notion that South Africa's fruit is the best in the world and we got very good fruit. But we ate such fruit, the names which we never heard of before. We never had an idea that there are such fruit. What then فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. What fruit Allah has taken out. So Allah, who is, and what favors, and He's giving this to everyone. Even a monkey eats fruit. He eats an apple, he eats a banana, he eats an orange. Allah giving the animals also this fruit. For human beings also Allah is giving. Allah is giving rosy to everyone. So, and just look at just one fruit. Not only did Allah make the fruit, but how Allah packed it for us also. When we send something, a parcel to somebody, we pack it nicely, we try and make it as presentable as possible. When Allah wanted to give us the orange juice, which is the main thing, the juice of the orange, Allah packed it in such a way that first there is a yellow skin outside. And then that one packing wasn't enough. Then Allah put that white skin which is under the yellow skin. Then every slice of the orange has got its very transparent covering of its own. And inside there, every little that little soluble thing where the juice is, it's also its own pocket. How many pockets in one slice? And everyone has got its covering, the juice is in there. And Allah said that my banda is going to make my ibadah. He must get the best of food to eat. And I have to do the packing for him in the best of ways, so that he gets it. And when a fruit is picked from the tree, at that time it is very nice, not too cold also. That the harms of the gas of the fridge is not in there. And it isn't hot, it is usually cool. When the fruit is just taken from the tree, it is very nice and cool. Not cold also, but very cool and soothing also. In this way Allah presented to my banda, must eat it, he must get it. Allah did this packing. So who is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? فأخرج, and there is only the orange. What about all the other? فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ Rosy for you I made. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا So don't associate partners with Allah. Don't say, I'm the owner of this body. Allah is the owner. When you say, I'm the owner of this body, you have associated partners with Allah. That money of mine, don't say it's my money, it's Allah's money. I'm just a Amin. I'm just a Amanat Dar. It's Amanat by me. I have to look at it. Allah said so much zakat, I must give so much zakat. Allah said use it on your family. Where Allah told you, you got choice. Where you can use it as you want to. But only in halal. You can't use it in haram. Everything how Allah has told us. So if we realize this, then this whole ibadat concept of ibadat to become the true slaves of Allah Ta'ala. And when Allah's favors are so great, it's only logical. We are worse than animals, even a dog. If it just gets a piece of bread from your door, it doesn't leave that door. It is loyal to that door, that I get my piece of bread from here. Are we worse than dogs also? That Allah is giving us our, nobody else gives us our. It's not our work, it's not the factories, it's not the farmers, it's solely Allah Ta'ala. All these are just like the dogs under the train, thinking we are doing everything. How many people, when we were small, we used to go to Christiana Warrington, where my maternal family lives. It all was sand road this way, right through. And there were gates also on the way. People, farmers, farms, they were that you used to pass through. And wherever, whichever town you came, you would ask the people who came from the other side, how's the road? Because usually with the rains and all corrugated roads, you used to get dams on the road practically. And it was difficult to pass. The people who looked after the roads on those days, with their graders, etc., they had to go and fix up the roads. They used to maintain that if we are not on duty 7 o'clock in the morning, the person who opens the gate for the graders to go out, the person who puts the diesel in the graders, if we are not here, the person who drives that the grader, the person who plans that which roads must be maintained, etc., if we are not here, what will happen to the people? All those people are in the qabrs, and today you got very good tar roads in its place. Everyone who in the dunya thought, if I'm not here, who will open the shop? And who will see to my children? Who will see to this? Who will see? All of them have gone to their qabr, and in place of their 10 shanty shops, today their children and grandchildren are doing import-export business. Today they are not running small shops, they are running big supermarkets and cash and carries. So the same with us. We think we are doing, we'll go. And no people will forget us very soon also. For a little while, some people will think about us, they will forget, and dunya will carry on with its place. When we landed at Bangkok airport, our eyes couldn't believe what we were seeing. We saw roads, a lot of good roads in the world. But all the freeways and the dual ways and the bypasses, but there are three layers of road. And not just at one place where they are crossing, completely three layers of road. Cars are traveling in the sky. And people 50, 20 years ago couldn't dream of such a thing. And what is going to happen? So yeah, we think today I'm doing everything. I'm in charge of this. I'm in charge. Allah alone is in charge. And we will die. Allah will never die. Old age comes to us and we can't do our things. Old age doesn't come to Allah Ta'ala. No illness comes to Allah. Allah never gets fatigued and tired. Allah never feels sleepy. Allah never sleeps. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ Allah is there forever. So a person, that Allah, He has made us. So what He has told us, yeah, for the world it is only good for us that we follow Allah's commandments. We will get, and Allah doesn't need our ibadat. If we don't make Allah's ibadah, it's not going to harm Allah one bit. If we swear Allah, na'uzu billah, and we disobey Allah, it won't harm Allah one bit. Allah is as He is. And if the whole world worships Allah, it won't increase Allah's position in one bit. Allah is as He is. We will benefit. We'll benefit in this dunya, at the time of maut, in the qabr, on the day of qiyamah, we'll benefit forever in Jannah. And if we disobey Allah, we'll suffer the consequences in this dunya. At the time of maut, in the qabr, on the day of qiyamah, and may Allah save us, in Jahannam we'll suffer that consequence. So the right thing is, U'budu Rabbakum, make ibadat of your Rabb. May Allah give us this realization. And not only basic ibadat, which is the basic, but together with that, let abdiyat also come into us, humbleness. And let that, with that, let us become the abd, the slaves of Allah Ta'ala also, in the true sense. And a person who is a slave, he is in great benefit. Outwardly it looks the master is in great benefit, but the slave is in great benefit. Eh? Yeah, presently with the madrasa, everywhere else also, the food prices that are going up, the students, everyone else don't have to worry. The person who has to pay for all this, he has got all the worry. Now I have to pay for this, I have to pay for that, so much more, so much extra. He's got, so the master has got all the worry. The slave has got no worry. If you are the slave, the master has to, it's his farz to feed you. It's his farz to give you clothing. It's his farz to give you place to sleep. He has got all the worry. You have got no worry. But we want to become masters. And we voluntarily, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. That insan wants to take on all these responsibilities, leave it to Allah. We become his slaves totally, and we do what we have to do. Allah said, make my ibadat, make Allah's ibadat. And Allah will take care of all your ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is the one who is the best protector, the best guardian, the best friend. We do what He has told us to do, and He will see to all our needs. Let the food prices skyrocket wherever they want to. Let petrol prices skyrocket when Allah is going to see to your intizam. Hazrat Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi, most probably it was, who said that if the food prices go up, and just to give you an idea of food prices, our Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Fakhruddin Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, Dar al-Dioban, he said when he was studying, which may be about 100 years ago now, he said one paisa, one rupee, at the moment is how much? One rupee? 20 cents. 20 cents about. He said, of 20 cents, one paisa, which is 1/20, 1/100 of 20 cents, that means 0.2 cents. Yeah? 0.2 or 0.02. 0.02. Huh? Not even a farthing. Farthing is also, we know, nobody knows who's farthing also. We forgot farthings of it. In other words, what is the value? He said we should buy one roti, two rotis, food, and we should get change with it also. And that's 100 years ago. Now, Hazrat Hassan al-Basri, about 1200 years ago roughly, he says at that time, when the food prices went up, and there is no new story of food prices going up. It's from the time of Dada Adam alayhi salam's time, food prices are going up. So he said when the food prices go up and people all, like now also, all, what's going to happen? The poor going to suffer the most. The rich talk worried of the poor, there is very good of them. Very seldom the rich worry of the poor. But such occasions, they're not really worried, or they're worried of their own selves. But they're just using the poor as a front. And the poor are always poor, poor people. They are being trampled all the time. They are just used also as excuses. That what's going to happen to the poor? They're not worried of the poor, they're worried of themselves. If it was such, go and see the reports presently. The big food companies have made profits of trillions now. They are making all the money. It's not food prices going up. These big companies, Jewish companies, they making all the money. They buy it off next to nothing from the farmer. And they sell it at high prices to the consumer. In between they do no work. They sit in their air-conditioned offices and they take all the money in between. This is what is happening in the world. Anyway, so he said if the prices go up wherever they want to, and if I just have to think, that from where will Allah feed me, I become a kafir immediately. Because Allah has declared, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah has taken the responsibility of ruzi. Allah will give the ruzi. So why must we worry? But we don't do our work. Shaitan beguiles us, puts us off track. He makes us that we must worry about all these things, and we don't make Allah's ibadat. We don't fulfill the commands of Allah. And then we come into problems. But we don't have to worry about these things. We worry. A father tells his son, I'll buy you a bicycle if you pass. Now the son, instead of worrying of studying and passing the exam, he is now drawing bicycles all the time. And he's going to all the bicycle shops and looking at bicycles. So instead of studying, that was his work. The father will worry of getting his bicycle, and the father will get him a bicycle more better than what he can think also. What does he know about? He's limited knowledge about bicycles. Father knows much more, but what shaitan put him? That you go and see all the bicycles, and now he's not studying. To start, he's explaining, but he's drawing bicycles and he's thinking about bicycles all day. Where he's going, what he's going to do. So, at the end, he's not going to pass. He's going to fail. And then when he asks his father for a bicycle, father will give him one slap on top. I told you, if you pass the exam, not that I'm just going to give. So the same way Allah said, make ibadat. Now we worried about food, we worried about this, we worried about, and the ibadat, we haven't got time for namaz. If we do make namaz, we are the last in and the first out. And our namaz is up and down, kiss the ground, back to town. Hey, all the time, that is what we have made. But if we do what we have been told to do, Allah will take care of it. And that needs yaqeen and iman of a person. That Allah is in charge. Allah will do everything. We must do what we have been told. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.